Shopify helped businesses break sales records over the holidays with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy, happy day, America. Wow, what a great day. What a great night last night in Iowa, and we have got some of the best analysis coming your way in just a little while. Also giving you an opportunity to have your say on what last night means to America and what it means to the Republican Party, what it means to the future of the America First movement. I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that we were expecting a landslide victory. I was talking about this on the air yesterday, and reading the tea leaves, it was very clear to me going into last night that we were going to be in for a big, big night. Folks, I am feeling very good about where we are right now. Trump derangement syndrome has reached epidemic proportions. Forget about the China virus. I am more concerned about TDS, which is an incurable malady. And unfortunately, many, many liberals across America, many never-Trumpers across America, many woke evangelicals across America are suffering from TDS. Maybe we should do a telethon. I'll talk to Grace Baker and see what we can do. Maybe have some musical acts, a variety show. We can raise money, and maybe there is a cure. But the only cure for saving America, ladies and gentlemen, is a Donald John Trump White House. That's it. And the lesson coming from last night, and there were a couple of lessons. First of all, Ron DeSantis and his team are sore losers. And number two, well, we have some audio from Nikki Haley, who we now learn cannot do basic mathematics.
I can safely say tonight, Iowa made this Republican primary a two-person race.
Oh, what? Okay, we've got Trump and we've got DeSantis. Okay, what is she saying? So, look, the reality here, ladies and gentlemen, is that it's over. It doesn't matter what happens in New Hampshire. It doesn't matter what happens in South Carolina. By the way, Trump is crushing Nikki Haley in her own state. So it tells me that the American people and the Republicans have made up their mind. You have made up your mind. And so to continue the primaries, to continue the cauci, by the way, someone sent me, Todd, isn't the plural of caucus, caucuses, right? Well, cauci or caucuses, it's your choice. You decide. But regardless, we're squandering money. Tens of millions of dollars we are squandering. All of that money should be directed at taking down the Democrats in the general election. So I just see this all now as a waste of time. Last night, historic victory. And let me tell you something. They're playing dirty. So there's a county in Iowa, Johnson County, and the reporting that we heard last night, and I was getting text messages about this, that the Democrats were actually coming out and were participating in the caucus there in Johnson County. So that was the county where Trump looked into the wee hours of the morning. Donald Trump had already been declared the winner in all 99 counties in Iowa. Well, they came back and they're counting the ballots, and it turns out that Nikki Haley beat him by literally one vote. One vote. So you know the Democrats were up to shenanigans last night. So they denied Trump a clean sweep. But let's get real. He won everything last night. And it was a beautiful moment. Now, the DeSantis campaign is very upset at Fox News. And I will give them this. That was pretty lousy. What the media did last night was pretty lousy. So many of you, and we do this. What I'm about to tell you, I don't want you to think that, well, there goes Starnes again. He's just griping and complaining. That's no. Don't hear me. What we do for you in our after hours, because when you're home and you're watching Blue Bloods or Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, the rest of the Todd Stern Show team, we are still working. And we watch things like CNN and MSDNC, and we do that so that you don't have to. It's our way of showing love. We love you. Not in a creepy sort of Joe Biden, 11-year-old little girl way. No. We truly love you, and we want to provide that. We want to do stuff for you, and we don't want you to be subjected to Rachel Maddow or the black chick in the Donald Trump wig, Joy Reid. No, we don't want to do that. So all that to say, last night I was preparing for a long night of work, and I'm sitting down there. I used to be able to eat the delicious Orville Redenbacher popcorn, but I can't do that anymore. So I'm sitting there eating grapes, and I'm drinking my Baptist martini. For you Lutherans out there, that's a Diet Coke with a wedge of lemon. And I'm getting ready, relaxing, getting ready to settle in and watch all of the coverage. And before I can even let the fizz go down in the Baptist martini in my beautiful crystal glass that I purchased from Crate and Barrel, before I could even do that, they had declared a winner. Wait, what? Sure enough, we weren't even 30 minutes into the night, and all of the networks declared Trump had won, which, I mean, we all knew that, but you still have to give the people the opportunity to vote. Now, here's what's really funny about this. Just about everybody going to the caucus had Fox News apps on their phone. So people, we're talking thousands of people across Iowa are standing in line, and you have to sign in, and then you go in and you caucus. So they're signing in, and all of a sudden, en masse, phones start going off everywhere, declaring Trump is the winner. And all of these people are standing around looking at everybody saying, well, wait a second, we haven't even voted yet. The process hasn't even started yet. The Iowa GOP putting out a statement, by the way, they're very upset about this, and they say it's not right. And you know what? I'll give it to them. I've always had a problem with that, declaring winners of races when people out on the left coast are still standing in line ready to cast a ballot. What's the harm in waiting? But you know how the media is, and Fox is just as bad as everybody else is about that nonsense. So anyway, we've got a lot of audio to play with. By the way, speaking of the media, they refused to broadcast Trump's incredible victory speech last night. And may I just say, that was a great speech. The president was pretty emotional last night. And he was, there was a conciliatory tone about what the president delivered last night. That kind of messaging will win him independent voters and, quite frankly, some Democrat voters if he maintains that consistency. Do I think it's going to happen? No, of course not. But it's Trump, right? He's going to say what's on his mind. But last night, and I know a lot of you DeSantis folks, I know you have your pantyhose in a twist over this. I get it. But you got to get over it. Your guy's just not likable. It's not working. And keep in mind, when Ron DeSantis ran for the governorship of Florida the first go around, he was in third place in that race until Donald Trump stepped in and gave him the endorsement. So Ron DeSantis owes his political career to Donald Trump. But last night, Trump was gracious. He thanked Ron. He didn't say de sanctimonious. He said, I want to thank Ron for for a good campaign, and Nikki for a good and then he went out of his way to thank Vivek Ramaswamy, who, by the way, was a great statesman last night, and at least in my estimation, and conceded that it was over for him, and he was throwing his support behind Donald Trump. That's the Donald Trump we needed to see last night. And that is the Donald Trump. He was having a good time. But he was also talking about his family, and there was a lot of talk about family. And when I was watching his speech, and I kept thinking about all the horrible things that the Democrats have done to this man, that the weaponized Justice Department is doing to this man, that his own party is doing to him. And he doesn't deserve any of it. Now, I'm not saying he's a saint. I'm not saying he's perfect. None of us are perfect. None of us are saints. We are sinners saved by grace. But I will say this, that the Trump we saw last night is a man who could win in a landslide in November. And he will if everyone gets on board. So that's where we're at. We're going to open up the phone lines. I want to get your take from last night. I do want to play some audio, though, because this is important. And you need to understand something, and especially all of you Christian Republicans out there. And I'm a Christian. I'm an evangelical Christian. But may I just talk to the Christians for the audience? The rest of you, just hang tight for a second. All of you Christians out there, you got to stop being wusses. You got to man up. You know,
but they're calling me a very bad name. They're saying I'm a bad Christian because I support Trump, and I don't want to tell anybody. I'm just going to keep it to myself, but I'm going to vote for Trump. But don't tell anybody. Keep it quiet.
Come on. What kind of Christianity is that? Be bold and courageous. They're going to be coming after you. They're going to be calling you every name under the book, every single name out there. But you can't buy into it. Don't be bullied or intimidated. And if you feel like you're about to be bullied or intimidated, you call me, and I'll help set you straight. As a matter of fact, if you got the bully's phone number, we'll call them up and give them the what for. But you better believe it. They're going to be coming after you. I'm going to get into more of that. But right now, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll open up the phone lines, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
MyPillow is celebrating its 20-year anniversary with over 80 million MyPillows sold. Mike Lindell at MyPillow wants to thank each and every one of you by giving you the lowest price in the history of MyPillow. You're going to get their queen-size MyPillow for $19.98, regular price $69.98, and just $10 more, you're going to be able to get a king-size pillow. You're going to receive deep discounts on all MyPillow products like bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. This is the time to try out some of their other amazing products you've had your eye on. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes to get this amazing offer of the queen-size MyPillow for $19.98 or call 1-800-839-8506. The offer comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes or call 800-839-8506, promo code Starnes.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Man, is it cold outside. It's like 9 degrees in Memphis, Tennessee. There is literally frost on the pork butts down at Central Barbecue. I've never seen anything like this before. That being said, sweet mercy. We got to crank up the heat today. All right. I want to go to the phone lines here. Let's start the day in Memphis, Tennessee. James listening to us on KWAM, our flagship station. Hi, James. What did you think about last night?
Man, so I'm a happy guy anyway. I won't care who wins. But because I'm really concerned with the people, I got a granddaughter, 2 years old. And when I vote for Donald Trump, I'm voting for myself because the American people got to realize, just like he said, they ain't just coming for him. They coming after anybody that don't agree with him. And I don't really agree with too many people. I get into little, I don't have my pistols with me. So I ain't shooting nobody. But people, I'm always speaking my mind. I've been speaking my mind here. I'm 75. I've been speaking my mind here since I was 15. I was the kind of guy that said, if I get beat up, that's fine with me. I'm just going to get up and still say what I said.
James, we need more men in America with that sort of a mindset. And if we did, I think the country would be in a heck of a lot better shape than it's in right now. I'll tell you that much.
Listen, man, common sense. I'm from the streets. I'm from Vietnam. I was in Vietnam. But the point about it, if you can't see what's going on now, like my wife, we weren't going to get no divorce because we disagreed with Trump. She didn't like Trump because of what that he called some little boys. It was a rape or something. I forgot what it was. But I told her, I said, that's immaterial. We talking about the survival of this country and them taxing the hell out you. So they tax the hell out you so they can pay for this stupidity. People ought to be very upset that they're taxing you and giving it to Ukraine, giving it to Israel. I don't care about Israel. I don't care about Ukraine. I know people stuck with their country over there, but I ain't got nothing to do with all that.
James, I'm not sure what happened yet. James, I agree with you 1,000%. I do think we have to support Israel because they're our ally, and we have agreements with them. But to your point, and by the way, James, thank you. I didn't realize you served in Vietnam. You hit that nugget for all the times you've been calling into the program. Thank you, sir, for serving our great nation. But you're right. They're taxing the you-know-what out of all of us. So a report from David Kustoff, our good friend, the congressman here in Tennessee, said inflation was about a little over 1% when Biden took office. Now 17%. It is absolutely unsustainable. But this idea that they're going to go out there and they're going to try to silence dissent in America, I got a big problem with that. I want to read something that David Chapman on our Facebook Live page wrote this. He says, people tend to, and let me set the stage for this. Beth Moore, the lady Bible teacher, the lady preacher, as we call her, she is blasting all of you Christians who are supporting Donald Trump. And we've got that story up on our website, toddstearns.com. And the problem with these lady preachers, and I call them woke evangelicals. That's what I call them, woke evangelicals. And she's embraced the teachings of the woke evangelicalism, their theology. She suffered in the last administration, she suffered a psychotic episode of TDS. It was terrible, just terrible. But the problem is, and I know she's got her clerical robes in a twist over all of this, and I get it. But I didn't see her criticizing Barack Obama. I didn't see her criticizing Joe Biden. So why she's just going after the Republican presidential candidate? But what she doesn't understand is that the Bible is filled with stories of flawed men and women who were used by God to do mighty things. And I believe that God is doing mighty things through many Christians in this country, including Donald Trump. And let's get real. I think the problem with Preacher Moore and her ilk is that this has more to do with politics than it really does to do with Jesus Christ. So I'm curious. I know we have a lot of ladies in the audience, and maybe you've gone through these Beth Moore Bible studies. But, man, she is off the reservation here. But I just want to—I want you to hear me on this, and we're going to take your calls. Trust me on this. I got a lot to say today. But all of this notion that all of you Christians who vote for President Trump, or maybe you fly Old Glory outside of your church house, they want you to think you're a bunch of heathen nationalists. That, ladies and gentlemen, is grade A horse dung. I will say it again, grade A horse dung. And maybe all these people like Beth Moore and these woke evangelicals and the people on MSDNC and CNN blasting all of you Christians and trying to bully you, maybe they need to be putting down the stones and picking up their Bible. Maybe they can learn a thing or two about sinners saved by grace, much of heathens. All right, got to take a break. We're going to the calls. Trust me on this. We'll be right back. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com. All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's go to the phone lines here. Johnny is listening to us in Memphis, Tennessee, KWAM. Johnny, are you staying warm? That's the big issue for the folks in Memphis today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, staying real warm. All went well an hour last night, didn't it?
Well, I think it did. What did you think about last night?
Well, I was wondering why there was no claim of a voter fraud. I mean, that's what I was wondering. Why there was no claim of a voter fraud.
Johnny, are you trying to make light of something, or I sense something in your tone, Johnny?
No, I'm just asking you, why was there no claim of voter fraud?
Well, I'm going to answer your question, Johnny, and let me tell you what I'm about to pour gasoline on your fire. Here we go. The reason why there was no voter fraud last night is because they counted every single ballot by hand. No, they did. Johnny, you got to let me finish. You asked a question, and I'm explaining it to you. They literally counted, and then they made sure they had redundancies there. So not only did everybody vote in person on one day and on a handwritten ballot, and that's the reason why there was no voter fraud last night.
And then all the white evangelicals, they got on board. The ones that God lied to.
Johnny, what do you mean by that?
Kenneth Copeland. They said that God had told them that Donald Trump was going to get reelected.
Who told you that?
You could pull it up, but anyway,
Johnny, hold on. I mean, you're smearing. About 61% of Iowa identifies as white Christian. So what is the point you're trying to make here?
The ones that God lied to said that Donald Trump, you, the 700 Club, you know, all of you all were saying that God has spoke to you all and said that Donald Trump would get reelected.
God hasn't spoken to me about Donald John Trump. I think the Holy Spirit talks to me, but I haven't talked to the Holy Spirit about politics. But again, I know that you've sort of veered away from your original call here, but the reason why there was no voter fraud last night, and by the way, real quick here, this is from the reporting of CBS News. CBS News, remember I told you about Johnston County, where that was the one county where Nikki Haley won. They reported that Democrats by the droves came out and filled out forms to switch to the Republican Party last night to vote in the caucus, and they ran out of those forms. And that was the one place where they overwhelmingly voted for Nikki Haley. I don't make this up. This is CBS News reporting, yeah. Johnny.
Yeah, he's not going to win. I tell you that now.
Because why do you say that? Why do you say he's not going to win, Johnny?
Because he's not going to win. You know, you all can get your hopes up. That's just a cop.
That's
you know
not a good reason why.
You know, as he gets out and he riles up his base. But see, that did not work in 20.
It worked pretty good last night.
That definitely did work because that's his base, Todd. You know, he's going to win.
The base is the Republican Party. And Johnny, I'm telling you, do not be surprised if he does well even among black Democrats here in Memphis, Tennessee, because they have seen what the policies of the Democrat Party have done to this city. And it's been decimated.
The Democrat Party done exactly what they promised. They promised.
They destroyed the city.
The Democrats, he was riding off Obama's economy, and they want to say that the economy was doing good. Soon as he got elected, the economy just flipped around. He was riding off of Obama's economy, and he messed that up.
No, sir. Look at inflation. Look at where inflation was when Joe Biden started, and look at where it is now. That's all on the Democrats, Johnny. All right, gotta run. Appreciate the call, though. I do want to address something, though, because this is a narrative coming out of MSDNC that all of the white Christian voters in Iowa, that you people are a bunch of racists. So Joyless Reed, she is one of the lady hosts on MSDNC. She's a black woman, and last night she was wearing a Trump wig. Did you see this? It was this blonde Trump wig. Technically, what's the word I'm looking for here? Cultural appropriation. So Miss Reed, Joyless Reed, incredibly triggered by all of you white honkies out there. I know that's redundant, but cut number one.
But, you know, I feel like the important sort of data point, and you know, Steve talks about it a lot. He's going to probably talk about it a little more tonight, is that these are white Christians. That this is a state that is overrepresented by white Christians that are going to participate in these caucuses, yes. Especially tonight. Earlier today, reached out to Robbie Jones, from the Public Religion Research Institute, knowing that we were going to talk about Iowa. And this is a hyper-evangelical white state. And he said the following to me. Iowa is about 61% white Christian. The country as a whole is approximately 41% white Christian. And in Iowa, we're talking about evangelical white Christians. And he said the following. Because I asked him, what do they get out of supporting Donald Trump? Because he keeps losing, he keeps delivering losses and losses and losses. And he said the following. They see themselves as the rightful inheritors of this country. And Trump has promised to give it back to them. All the things that we think about electability, about, you know, what are people gaming out, or none of that matters when you believe that God has given you this country, that it is yours, and that everyone who is not a white conservative Christian is a fraudulent American, is a less real American, then you don't care about electability. You care about what God has given.
She ignorant. That's Joyless Reed right there. Now, people were calling her out. They say, whoa, Nelly, she's a bigot that one. You can't say that on TV. No, ladies and gentlemen. I want to come to her defense on this one issue. Joyless Reed is not a bigot. She is a flat-out racist. She hates you white people. She does. If you're a person of the Caucasian persuasion, she don't like you. I don't like honky. That's Joyless Reed. And it's a pretty detestable thing that MSDNC would literally platform a racist. Could you imagine anybody at Fox or Newsmax saying something like that about black voters? They would literally revoke the FCC broadcasting license of those networks. So what we are watching on MSDNC is flat out racism, and she didn't stop there because she has a theory about why all of you white Christians in Iowa did not vote for Nikki Haley. Cut three.
New Hampshire. And I think to the point that you made, Steph, I mean, it's the elephant in the room. She's still a brown lady that's got to try to win in a party that is deeply anti-immigrant and which accepts the notion that you can say immigrants are poisoning the blood of our country. She's getting, you know, birthered by Donald Trump. And I don't care how much the donor class likes her, which will ramp up a lot, the better she does in New Hampshire. So it's still a challenge. I don't see how she becomes the nominee of that party with Donald Trump still around. I can't picture it happening. Maybe it could happen. Ron DeSantis' only argument for staying in it is he's the white guy, that he can still make the appeal to white
people. While we have...
Wow. So is she like the resident racist on the, I mean, what is going on here? Does she end every broadcast with the Black Power salute? So I want to set the record straight here. First of all, I think one of the reasons why Nikki Haley did not get the win last night is she doesn't know how to count. And if she can't do basic math, if she can't figure out that she was number three in the race, then how in the world is she going to be able to balance a budget? How is that humanly possible? So I think that's one of the reasons why Nikki Haley did not do well last night. That, and she's just annoying. I mean, it's just grating, terrible. But I want to set the record straight here because we deal with facts. And did a little bit of research on Iowa to find out what in the world is going on. Are the good Christian people of Iowa really racist? Well, it turns out that slavery had always been outlawed in Iowa. There were never any slaves in Iowa because Iowa was a free state. As a matter of fact, Iowa actually led the nation in promoting civil rights. Now, back in the 1960s, you had the Dixiecrats. I say the Dixiecrats. Them Democrats, and they were standing up, and we're not going to give the black man the right to vote. I say, we're not going to do it. I say, Lyndon, don't you go down that road to civil rights. I mean, that was happening, right? Democrats were trying to stop the civil rights movement from happening in the 1960s. The 1960s. Well, ladies and gentlemen, guess what was happening back 100 years before that, in 1868, that was the year that Iowa desegregated public schools. More than 150 years ago, the white Christian people of Iowa desegregated their schools. So while the rest of the country was still fighting about this in the 1960s, Iowa children, black and white, were going to public school together. And if you want the Supreme Court case in Iowa, it's Clark versus the Board of Directors. The Iowa Supreme Court held back in the 1860s that racial segregation of the public schools was unconstitutional under the Natural Rights Equality Clause of the Iowa Constitution's Bill of Rights. Guess what happened in 1868 in Iowa, ladies and gentlemen? That's when Iowa became the first state outside of New England to grant African-American men the right to vote. Well, what about the women? Hey, now, come on. Baby steps. This item from Iowa Public Welfare Broadcasting. In 1884, the Iowa legislature passed the Iowa Civil Rights Act. It outlawed discrimination and barbershops and theaters and hotels. So while all you Democrats in Dixie were having to send the black people to the back of the bus and to the balconies of the theaters and with their own little private drinking fountains, in Iowa, everybody was going to the same hotels, the same theaters, and drinking out of the same water fountains. And they were riding the same buses together. 1892. Iowa, the white Christians of Iowa, passed a law that said discrimination was even illegal in restaurants, while Democrats in the South and other places would not even allow a black person to sit at a counter to grab a tuna fish sandwich. So my message to people like Joy Reid, we come armed with facts here. And if you're going to come out there on national television and say that all the white Christians in Iowa are racist, you better come armed with your facts. And it just seems to me that the only thing worse than platforming a woman who spews this vile racism against white people is platforming an ignorant racist. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and I want to update you on my Calitrin journey. I'm still losing weight. I'm also sleeping a lot better, and I've got a lot more energy. Calitrin really is about more than just weight loss. Here's my good friend Elizabeth from Calitrin.
That's right, y'all. You know, this time of the year, I know it's hard. You're probably even thinking that you've gained weight this time of the year already, but if you are taking Calitrin, you're going to be losing weight. It's got a huge 86% success rate with our 90 days, so get on it now, and you'll be looking better and feeling better before the new year even gets here. Our website is toploss.com. All the information about how it works, the success rate, the before and after pictures, it's all on our website, toploss.com. And then we've also got our big Christmas sale up right now, too. So you're going to save big. Again, toploss.com or call us toll-free, 1-833-TOP-LOSS.
And be sure to use that discount code, Todd. We'll be right back. All right, so I was watching MSDNC last night to get some of their reaction. And I thought I was having a medical episode. I thought, oh my gosh, I see two of Rachel Maddow up there. But it turned out that the dude, Chris Hayes, man, are they not like, they're dead ringers for each other. It's like a doppelganger. Anyway, practicing Lebanese woman, Rachel Maddow. We're going to play some audio here. Maddow actually interrupted the live coverage of President Trump's address. Cut number six.
Let me just interject. Sorry. I'm sorry. I just have to do a little bit of business just for a second. At this point in the evening, the projected winner of the Iowa caucuses has just started giving his victory speech. We will keep an eye on that as it happens. We will let you know if there's any news made in that speech, if there's anything noteworthy, something substantive and important. The reason I'm saying this is, of course, there is a reason that we and other news organizations have generally stopped giving an unfiltered live platform to remarks by former President Trump. It is not out of spite. It is not a decision that we relish. It is a decision that we regularly revisit. And honestly, earnestly, it is not an easy decision. But there is a cost to us as a news organization of knowingly broadcasting untrue things. That is a fundamental truth of our business and who we are. And so his remarks tonight will not air here live. We will monitor them and let you know about any news that he makes.
Yes, that's right. Pardon me. I got to get Maddow's voice down. But yes, that's right. I, Rachel Maddow, a practicing Lebanese woman, will decide what you can and cannot hear. That is our job as the media. We now resume the regularly scheduled Todd Stearns program. Well, thank you, Rachel Maddow, practicing Lebanese woman. Let's go to the phones here. Johnny, North Carolina, listening to us on WSIC. Hi, Johnny. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, Todd. How are you today?
I'm well, Johnny. Thank you for asking.
I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm a different Johnny. They thought I was the same Johnny calling again, but no, it's a different Johnny from North Carolina.
I wouldn't have known the difference.
Todd, I'm hoping you can help put my mind at ease because there's something that concerns me a lot. And that is that as wonderful as Iowa was last night and as huge of a victory as that was, it's wonderful. But we've been here before. We've seen this. When the country was on fire for Trump and there was no question as to what the will of the people was, I'm one of those that believes that the 2020 election was stolen and not stolen by just a little bit. I think he won in a landslide. And it was completely stolen, and I don't know what has changed. I'm hoping you know something that I don't that will help put my mind at ease on that.
Johnny, I'll do my best here. And, yeah, look, and you're not the only one. I think some of the entrance polling last night, they had an overwhelming majority of the Republican voters believe that there were election issues and that the election was stolen. Look, we're going to have to do our due diligence. First of all, we're going to have to get out to vote. And, Johnny, I do believe that Trump won. I don't think he won in a landslide, though, because I believe a lot of Republican voters stayed home, the never-Trump Republicans. So if the establishment of the party stays home and does not support the candidate, it is going to be very tough. We're going to have to make sure that we have eyes and ears in every single ballot-counting office in America. We just have to. Is that gonna guarantee a Trump victory to make sure that we're not going to be able to go through another steal again? I don't know. You know, there are unknowns, Johnny, but I do know this. If every single person of faith goes out and votes, we win in numbers so large they cannot steal the election.
Okay, so you believe there is such a thing as winning big enough that they can't, it'll overcome their cheating?
I sure do. When you've only got 20% of registered Christian voters going out to the polls, I mean, come on. Imagine what happens if we get up to 40 or 50%. You got a landslide victory going on.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. I sure appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it, Johnny.
I'm glad you're feeling better.
Well, thank you very much. And look, folks, I wish I could say here I can guarantee this is the way to do it, but we've made advances. But unless we're going to be counting every ballot by hand like they did in Iowa, there's always going to be a risk. Hang tight, everybody. Hour two of the Big Show coming up next.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's me. Hello, everybody. Happy, happy post-election day, caucus day. Hope you're doing well. We've got a great hour of conversation coming up in just a little while. Our friend Robin Poffman joins us to talk about the caucus results. Also, our buddies over at Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless company, they're going to drop by as well and bringing an important message. And then in the next hour, Senator Bill Hagerty is dropping by with some important new legislation that he's going to be sponsoring. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So the busiest guy in broadcast journalism is our friend Jeff Stein over at radio station KXEL. He was all over the place last night, Fox News and Newsmax, and he joins us now alive. Jeff, I hope you got at least an hour of sleep last night.
Literally, I was up 22 hours. Which, for a man of my advanced age, is, I can't keep up with the Todd Starnes of the world, you go-getters who have this kind of schedule. I do think, though, the only place I was not on was the Home Shopping Network, to be honest with you.
Well, you and I are not spring yard birds, as they say, so we've we need our sleep time. Look, Stein, I'm curious here. There's been a lot of hullabaloo about the fact that the announcement, the results of the caucus were released barely 30 minutes into the event itself. Is that unusual? Has that happened in previous years? And was that a big problem, or is it a big problem?
Well, it is different from past years because in the past, the Republican Party of Iowa did not promote this just-in-time results routine. They had a brand new app where the precincts could report, and they put up a brand new website where you could see it come in as precincts reported. All well and good, but the thing that was interesting was these networks wanted to declare Donald Trump the winner so quickly that they forgot the fact that people in the caucus could hear it. And here's what I mean by that. In the old days, we were worried. Well, think back to 1980. I was literally driving to the courthouse to report on election results, and Jimmy Carter had conceded to Ronald Reagan before 9 o'clock Central Time. And folks in California got all upset because they said, well, people stayed home. Now, there's no proof for that necessarily, statistically, but the concern was that if the networks had called the race and a candidate concedes, well, it might affect the voting. Well, here it is 2024, and people who show up at caucuses, Todd, have smartphones. And so they're sitting there seeing all of this in real time. Did it impact the vote? Well, Ron DeSantis used the phrase election interference. Where have we heard that before? Yet another page that he took out of the Trump playbook. But they said it was election interference on the part of the mainstream media because they are all in the bag for Trump. How's that for spin?
And especially Fox News, because let's get real. Those Republicans, I don't think most of them have the CNN or MSDNC app.
No, certainly not. And this is the problem that once the AP declared, all of these other organizations declared, but we knew what the ultimate result was going to be. The question was margin of victory and who would finish second. And I think it's a little disingenuous for DeSantis to say that it affected his total, given that he outperformed all the polls of the week before. But again, it is something, and now the Republican Party of Iowa has issued a statement saying that it was inappropriate for the networks to declare, well, look, a six-year-old could have seen the trend and made the declaration of who was going to win. Did it tamp down the numbers? It very well could have, I suppose. But frankly, you're already in the room. I hear no reports of people looking at their phone disgustedly saying, well, it's all over, Mabel, let's leave. So I think it's DeSantis got out on that early, Todd, because I think he was trying some spin in case the numbers were not what he wanted.
Oh, big time. And it's funny to watch the media's narrative. Going in, they were all about, oh, you know, there's no way, you know, Trump can continue with the race if he doesn't get, you know, more than 50%. He got more than 50%, and now the argument is, well, 49% of Republicans didn't like the guy.
Well, and you could see that coming down the highway.
Oh, yeah.
With its doors wide open. The thing that is interesting about this is we now know a bit of the playbook that the Democrats are going to use in what I call shenanigans. The only county in Iowa, we have 99 counties here, and the only county that did not go for Donald Trump last night was what we call the People's Republic of Johnson County. And that is where Iowa City, the most liberal place on the planet, is, the University of Iowa. And Nikki Haley defeated Donald Trump by one vote, one single vote. So can you imagine Bessie and Fred over there in rural Johnson County, big Trump supporters deciding that it's too cold to go out? They're kicking themselves today because that could have made for a clean sweep.
Yes, but there were shenanigans going on. CBS News reported that the numbers of Democrats who came out in Johnston County were so great, you know, switching over to vote Republican, they ran out of the forms.
Yes.
So you wonder, you know, if that had not have happened, I think there would have been a clean sweep.
There's no question about it. And I saw some news coverage where the news reporter interviewed a woman who was proud to say she was a Democrat. She switched over, her words now, so she could vote against Trump an extra time. And she chose Nikki Haley as her choice. That is what's going to happen in New Hampshire 1 week from today. Because here in Iowa, you had to, as you quite accurately noted, you had to switch your party registration and show up and sit there with a bunch of Republicans. I'm sure those Democrats were in a corner just kind of rocking because they just couldn't stand the whole thing. But when you go to New Hampshire next week, you just simply show up as a registered voter. Doesn't matter if it's an R, a D, an I for independent, anything. You just say, give me the red ballot. And you go in and vote. And that's all well and good. But when you have no race on the Democrat side, because Biden didn't put in, the DNC has disassociated itself from the New Hampshire primary. If you want to cause some trouble, you're going to cross over. You're going to vote against Trump. And who are you going to choose? Probably Nikki Haley, because she is the most liberal of those in the field that are left.
Well, you know, and I'm getting some background intel out of New Hampshire where, and you're right, independents can vote in the New Hampshire Republican primary. There are 40,000 college students enrolled in New Hampshire. All of those kids can vote in the primary. It doesn't matter where they call home. So we could see some, you know, shenanigans at the ballot box that will certainly, you know, give the appearance, the perception that Nikki Haley is incredibly popular, when in fact you have a lot of independents and Democrats jumping in and causing a little bit of mayhem.
Now, I'm going to get static for this as a homer for my state of Iowa, but I'm going to tell you that because of everything we're talking about, Todd, New Hampshire does not have meaningful impact this year, and here's why. If Trump wins, he's expected to win, so no one will give him credit. If Haley wins, well, if you're a Republican, discount that because of the shenanigans. Because of the shenanigans, DeSantis is not going to finish second. So he's going to say that's tainted. And let's go on to Nevada, where Nikki Haley wrongly chose a primary ballot as opposed to participating in the caucus, which gives delegates. I mean, it's going to be, you know, sport and entertainment. But the reality is, I don't care what the numbers show, somebody can spin it pretty easily and disallow any impact of New Hampshire on the overall race.
Wow. Jeff Stein, radio station KXEL in Waterloo, Iowa, joining us. And Jeff was used as the expert in Iowa politics on all of the big channels over the past little while. Jeff, I'm curious to get your take on the attacks coming from the media, talking about the white people, talking about the Christian voters of Iowa. And we pointed out in the last hour that you guys were the first state to actually desegregate your schools. So Iowa's got a pretty strong track record in the civil rights movement.
One of the very first to have a female license to practice law, the first to desegregate. And that was literally, I think, 70 years before Brown versus Board of Education. And by the way, Who gave Barack Obama his start in presidential politics? It was Iowa, where Barack Obama finished first ahead of John Edwards and Hillary Clinton. But go ahead, Joy Reid. Say that Iowa is nothing but a bunch of white Christians. Go ahead, Rachel Maddow, and tell us how we're so unrepresentative and apparently close-minded and bigoted because we voted for Obama. Okay, you go ahead and square that. And how about Hillary Clinton won the caucuses in a virtual tie with Bernie Sanders? So we're not against women. I mean, I'm trying to figure out the logic of the argument. And then, Todd, I realize there is no logic. It is just vehement vitriol. And having evidence doesn't seem to matter to those folks. But if you were watching MSNBC last night, you're probably one of the very few. And I hope you had a lot of Tums and Alka-Seltzer to handle the rest of the evening.
Well, I'm filled right now with tons of legal narcotics, so I was good to go last night. I was inoculated. Jeff, what's the takeaway from last night? It was, I mean, again, 98 out of 99 counties. What do we need to know about what happened yesterday in Iowa?
This is the snapshot of the country. This is the heartland. And despite all of the establishment, despite all of the in-the-know people saying that they can't control Trump and so therefore we need to find candidates who are more like us, the people love Trump. The people know what it is that he has done for this country, and you can tell how scared to death the other side is, both within the Republican Party and the Democrats, by everything that they're trying to do to keep him from raising his hand and taking the oath again in about a year. And so I think the takeaway is that you've got common, ordinary, good citizens that make this country operate. They get it. The other people who are pushing other candidates, it's for their own selfish purpose. And there's more of us than there are of them. And this is example number one.
Great stuff. Jeff, we're going to leave it there. Great job over this election cycle. We're going to be touching base with you down the road as well as we move through the primaries and the caucuses. We have New Hampshire coming up, then Nevada. And it could be that, you know, maybe if Haley is able to pull something off in New Hampshire, that gives her enough of a push. But I think if she loses South Carolina, it's over for her. And I'm going to be very surprised if DeSantis stays in much, much longer than that.
Super Tuesday just kind of seems like a dud, doesn't it?
It really does, which is bad for me as a radio station owner because I need that advertising for the candidate. So
maybe well, we especially since you're on those legal narcotics. I mean, these bills must be terrible.
Well, I've got a good insurance plan, I'll tell you that.
Boy. Good job. You work for somebody who provides good insurance.
That's right, my friend. All right, Jeff Stein, get some rest, sir. Great job.
Thank you kindly, Todd. Have a good day.
All right, man. He was working around the clock and really giving some great guidance on the electorate there. And look, Stein predicted this. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern. So one of the things we were talking about a few days ago, one of the benefits of having, you know, a half a foot of snow on the ground now turning to ice in a beautiful Memphis is the carjackers. You know, they're just not as active. And the carjackers, the thugs and the thuggets and the thuglings, they don't like the cold weather. So they normally stay inside. But I've got some disappointing news. It turns out that the Weather Channel was in town. Jim Cantore flew into town to cover the big storm, and all of us were very happy and relieved that he was actually covering the storm in Mississippi. So he was driving to Oxford, the home of Ole Miss, and we thought, well, that's good. He'll be safe from the violence. We didn't realize he was staying at an upscale hotel in Memphis, the Memphian Hotel, and they broke into his car, knocked out the windows. It's terrible. Welcome to Memphis, ladies and gentlemen. It's Mogadishu on the Mississippi. It's a terrible thing, but it happens. My condolences. What an embarrassment. Let's go to North Carolina. Jamal is listening to us on WSJS. Hi, Jamal, what's on your mind?
Hi, Mr. Starnes. Good talk to you, sir. We actually met at a Salt and Light conference down here in North Carolina around the Mount Airy area.
That was a lot of fun. What a great event.
Oh, yeah, it was. I just happened to listen to your show. Our good buddy Epstein is now affiliated with you all, so I'm kind of following him around, and he said he's now affiliated with you all and check you all out, so I did, and listened to your show before. Very good show. Unfortunately, we had a caller who just said that Donald Trump just will not be elected, and he sounded like a black guy. I'm a black person, and I just kind of wanted to respond to that.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Well, thank you, sir. That caller, with all due respect, I don't think he really fully knows what he's talking about. I don't think he has a full grasp on the situation of the country and the mindset of the country. Yes, Donald Trump has ruffled a lot of feathers. I get that. However, as I saw on a post on Facebook, I'd rather have a mean tweet guy and a guy that's running the country well than a guy who is nice and affable, who is ruining the country. Give them the mean tweet and a good economy all day. And I think that's what a lot of people are thinking about. So to say that Donald Trump is just not electable, I don't see it.
Look, I'm with you, Jamal. And one of our listeners posted this, and it's a great point. He says, people tend to forget that Winston Churchill was a hot-tempered, foul-mouthed drunk who was hard to get along with, but he was very instrumental in defeating the Nazis. Or General Patton was an arrogant, ill-tempered hothead. He was not a diplomat. He was a first-class jerk. His mouth got him in more trouble than anything else. But if you're in the middle of a war and you want to win that war, that's who you would turn to. So I think the same thing applies here. I don't necessarily... I wouldn't write what he writes, but you know what? I'm not hiring a preacher. We want a president.
Amen to that. And thank you for what you do, sir. I'll go ahead and listen off air. God bless.
Jamal, thank you very much for that call, and we appreciate all of our North Carolina listeners. And, of course, WSJS is one of our great affiliates out there. All right, hang tight. I'm excited. We have Carlotta from Rhode Island calling back. Carlotta, we're going to put you on hold. We've got to take a quick break here, and I've got to get some coffee because I'm telling you, this bronchitis has been kicking my butt, ladies and gentlemen, but we're going to get through it. It would help if it was more than 9 degrees outside. All right, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Hang tight, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Show. And welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Terrible about poor Jim Cantore, but you can't stay in a hotel in Memphis, Tennessee. Sorry, Jim. Hope you get your stuff back. Real quick, let's go to the phones. Rhode Island, our dear friend, Miss Carlotta, it has been ages. I hope you're doing good.
I'm doing well. After my husband died, we were so in tune about politics, and you have to be so careful who you speak to. So I didn't really tune out, but I stopped participating. But anyway, I am so proud of you. I've been monitoring your success, and you're just going off like a firecracker. And I'm sorry about your ill health recently, but that's a bump in the road.
Well, you're kind, Carlotta. I appreciate that. And we're just glad that you're back among us. Always enjoy your great take on the issues.
Well, here's my take. People are making such a fuss about President Trump's remark about poisoning our blood. It was not a racist remark. It was a medical remark. People are coming in with contagious, unvetted, contagious and infectious diseases. They are literally poisoning our blood. What is so wrong with saying that?
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. And I would say that the fentanyl and the drugs, I think you can extrapolate a lot from that. But there was nothing racist or white supremacist about what he was saying. And you're right, Carlotta. They're trying to portray this man who has done so much for minorities in this country as a racist man when Joe Biden is actually doing things to hurt black people in this country.
And Todd, my goodness, he's married to an immigrant. He has a child with an immigrant.
It's true.
So his child's blood is mixed with an immigrant.
Carlotta, it is a great point you make. You see, this is why I've missed you. It's a great point you make. So, well, Carlotta, you give us a holler back one of these days. Always great hearing from you. I'm sorry to hear about your husband, but you've got a great big family here on the radio. So you give us a call back soon.
Thank you. And you feel better soon.
All right. You're kind. Miss Carlotta, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Another great lady, the great journalist, Robin Poffman, joins us. Robin, good to have you back with us.
Can we get Carlotta's number and go to dinner with her? She sounds like an awesome American.
So I've long said we need to get Miss Janice from New Orleans, Carlotta from Rhode Island, and Robin, we would have the wildest dinner conversations.
Do you know that I know Janice? She used to be a caller to my old radio show back in the day.
Is that right? Well, you know her husband, not to get too far in the weeds, her husband was a very well-known guy in the radio world in New Orleans.
Wow. I didn't see you learn something new every day.
Mm-hmm.
I want to just say something about what Carlotta said because I heard the whole call. I will tell you that she's not wrong. There is a report just breaking in the last few minutes, Todd, that there are cases of measles of people could be an illegal alien. We don't know. But someone went through the D.C. airports, and now there's a measles scare in our country. When was the last time we talked about measles in the United States? 50, 60, 70 years ago? What? Really?
It's unbelievable. And again, the Washington Examiner with the headline, Measles Outbreak Possible in D.C. and Northern Virginia.
How do you like that? See, I'm breaking news on your show.
You bring it every day, Robin. That's... Look, I'm so glad you're on because of what happened last night, and I know you're really bothered by this, but CNN and MSDNC would not allow the viewers to watch Trump's victory speech last night. They shut it down.
These people are activists. They are not journalists. They have an agenda. You and I have worked with them in New York, D.C., California, points in between media, Dallas, Texas, Atlanta, Memphis. I mean, you name the city, these people exist, Todd, both at the network level and local radio and TV. They are activists. They pick the sound bites. They make decisions like this. And I woke up this morning and I'm thinking, wow, didn't my great grandparents leave communist Russia to get away from all this nonsense and frankly crap? I mean, are we living in China where we're having censored news? It's unbelievable that they despise this man so much that they're cutting him off and not letting him speak. And let me tell you something else. Trump derangement syndrome, like the measles, is probably spreading.
It's a psychotic disease, and unfortunately, there really is no cure, as we have discovered. These people are sick in the head. But for Joy Reid, and this is, by the way, Robin, there's going to be a movement here, and we've been playing audio through the show, but they're going to be trying to target specific demographics, including Christian voters, trying to shame them from staying home on election day, as if you vote for Donald Trump, then you're not a Christian, you're going to hell. This is pretty devious behavior on the part of these folks in the media.
It is, and it's scary because, you know, back in the day, you could put up a lawn sign. Back in the day, you could wear a red Make America Great Again hat or visor or T-shirt. you know, without someone making a snarky remark, you know, in the grocery store. I think that a lot of people are afraid to put the lawn signs out. But you know who's not afraid? The voters of Iowa last night. They spoke very loud and very clear. And it's very obvious of what's going on. People, Americans, are desperate. We don't want weird diseases that have not been in this country in decades and decades flowing in. We don't want fentanyl here. We don't want drugs. We don't want illegal people or illegal substances. And we've got to put an end to it. And when you look at the landscape who's out there and you think, what woman, what man can stop this, put an immediate end to this American pain, that person is Donald Trump.
And Robin, when you look at the entrance polling, and it's weird in Iowa, they do entrance, not exit polling. When you look at the entrance polling data, that was the number one issue on everybody's minds in Iowa. Immigration, that's the issue.
Yeah, that's been my issue personally for years. You know, for your listeners that don't know my history, I was in two terrorist attacks. I was in the 1993 World Trade Center radical Islamic terrorist bombing, and I was in 9/11, which was radical Islam, 2.0. Same group of thugs, same group of characters, same group of people that want to wipe Israel off the map, same people, thuggery that was behind the October 7th attack in Israel. This is your same crowd, okay? This menace has not gone away. And if you think that there are not people that have walked right into this country from our southern and, frankly, our northern border, it could have happened as well. I don't, you know for a fact, but it would seem that it's pretty porous up there as well. We're not vetting people. There are some people that have walked into this country that are here for evil deeds, that are not here to work and assimilate into the country and learn the language. They're up to no good. And sadly, if I was a betting woman, which I am, Todd, I would tell you that there won't be anything until Biden is off the stage, until there's a Republican in office. It's going to be another repeat of 9/11 that took place on George W.'s watch, if you'll recall. And I'm not optimistic by what I see in the current administration. You have Kamala Harris out there cackling. You have the defense secretary not telling anyone what his medical issues are, disappearing. The president doesn't know what's going on. Did you see the video, Todd, by the way, of Biden in Pennsylvania and in Allentown and in Emmaus, Pennsylvania? And he doesn't know where he is, and he's smelling a girl's hair, and he's talking into a bookcase. The guy looked absolutely out of it.
And the poor child, I mean, the visceral reaction of that little child. She knew that it was stranger danger. I mean, she was really repulsed by whatever the president was doing there. Very, very weird behavior.
Very weird. God. You know, you're sitting there. As
stranger
danger. Like 10 or 12-year-old girl, and you have this man. I don't care if it's the president of the United States or whoever is like coming up behind you. But again, he probably went to smell her hair because that's what he's done in the past. And it was very odd. And then he's talking into a bookcase. I mean, that video is strange.
It's very, very weird. The fact that he walked into the coffee house and announced that he was working in the government as a senator. This is troubling. We've got a man who apparently does not realize he is the leader of the free world, the commander in chief.
No, he doesn't. And, you know, you can blame a lot of people. You can blame Obama. You can blame the current chief of staff. You can blame a lot of the folks in the administration. But the number one on the Robin blame list for Biden still being the president is Jill Biden. Because as a wife, if that was my husband who had dementia or Alzheimer's, you know, I'm not a doctor, but it's pretty obvious, whatever his ailments are, I wouldn't want my husband out there in the forefront of the country, let alone at a private dinner party, acting like a fool if I knew that he had a documented medical disease. I mean, it's really her fault. As a wife, it's outrageous that she has not put an end to this you know, a year or two ago.
I'm with you 1,000%. Robin, unfortunately, we've got to leave it there. Great work coming up next, New Hampshire. We're going to be checking it. I'm laughing because I'm remembering some of our adventures there.
You know, let's tease the audience that when we get to New Hampshire, we will revisit some of our adventures. That the statute of limitations, I think, are gone on some of those
I'll explain why I will never ride in a car when you are driving. So we'll tell that story, too. All right, Robin.
2 feet of snow.
Great stuff. All right. Robin Poffman, everybody. A great friend, great journalist. And if you go back in time and you look at the ABC News coverage of the 9/11 events, the first voice you hear from ABC News is Robin announcing that the towers were coming down. And so she is a part of history, and she is a fine journalist. We do need to take a break. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Great to have you with us. Want to direct your attention to PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. All sorts of wonderful information as you consider changing wireless carriers. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian and conservative wireless carrier. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile newsmaker line right now and say hello to our good friend Scott Coburn from Patriot Mobile. Hey, Scott, how are you today?
Hey, Todd. Doing great. It's certainly a pleasure to be on with you today, and just good to be here.
Well, we're super fans of what you guys are doing and really trying to connect churches and ministries and especially faith-based nonprofits to the great work that Patriot Mobile Faith is up to. Why should churches take that plunge and get involved?
Yeah, Todd. So we've launched Patriot Mobile Faith within the last year, and we've just had tremendous success so far. And essentially what it is, it's an affinity program where ministries, churches, and other faith-based nonprofits can partner with Patriot Mobile. And simply by promoting Patriot Mobile to their congregation or to their members, as those people sign up for Patriot Mobile, the organization will earn a residual income stream forever as long as they are remain a customer of Patriot Mobile. So it's a great way for these organizations to fund initiatives to, you know, if they've got a missions trip for their teen group or they want their water wells project overseas or whatever it is that they need to raise money for, it's a great way for them to create a recurrent revenue stream.
So how can churches get involved in Patriot Mobile Faith? Where do they need to go for that?
Simply go to faith.patriotmobile.com, and it explains how the program works. There's a simple short form there on the website where you can fill out that form, and one of our agents will get back with you, tell you how the program works. And signing up is very easy. We make it extremely easy. In fact, we do all the heavy lifting on behalf of the organization. We'll create a custom landing page that their organization members can go to find out more about signing up for Patriot Mobile. We also give them a set of marketing assets that they can use themselves to help promote Patriot Mobile to their members.
I know we've had so many of our listeners make the switch, and they love it. They call and they tell us they love it. But I want you to explain what it means for you guys to be a Christian business and the importance of bringing our faith to the marketplace.
Great question, Todd. In fact, I get asked that question quite often. People will ask me, say, hey, Scott, you know, you guys put it out there that you're a Christian company. Don't you think that might be a little risky in today's environment? And quite the opposite, the way I answer that, as I said, look, we have no choice. You know, when I look in the scriptures where God gives us the Great Commission to go and make disciples, I can't find anything in those scriptures that say we're to only go and make disciples on Sundays and Wednesday nights and maybe on Christmas or Easter. It's we are to go and make disciples all the time. And I believe if we don't bring our faith into the marketplace, we're missing an incredible opportunity to witness to people about what it means to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And that's really what we try to do at Patriot Mobile. It's just model to other businesses what that might look like and the blessings that come as a result of that.
We've got about 60 seconds here, and let's talk nuts and bolts here. What are some of the things that you guys are doing to make it easy for folks to switch that cell phone service?
Sure, yeah, and we do everything online, Todd. We don't have retail stores for a reason. I'm not sure when the last time you've been in a retail store to get service on your cell phone, but it's not a pleasant experience. So we make it easier for our customers. We do everything online through our 100% U.S.-based customer support, and we use new technology like eSIM. So eSIM allows us to actually email you a code that you shoot with your phone on your camera on your phone, and it automatically loads your SIM card into your phone. Thus, I don't have to physically mail you or hand you a SIM card anymore. It can be done digitally and very quickly and easily. And those are just a few of the things that we're doing to make things easier. We have a white glove, hands-on team that's ready to support and get people moved over quickly and easily.
I love it. And folks, again, patriotmobile.com/Todd. And all the information is there, and they make it super simple. Real quick, can you keep your phone? That seems to be a big question people always have.
Absolutely. You can keep your phone or you can buy a new phone. We have all the great selection of Androids and iPhones and everything in between. And you can also keep your number. Porting your number from your existing carrier is also easy. We can walk you through how to do that as well.
All right. Great stuff. Scott, always appreciate you coming on. And we wish you guys nothing but the very best. And we're just huge fans of what Patriot Mobile's doing.
Likewise, Todd. Thanks for having me on, and God bless you guys.
All right, Scott Coburn, everybody, from Patriot Mobile. And again, that website, patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. All sorts of great, great opportunities for you, discounts if you're a veteran or a first responder. By the way, use my promo code Todd, and you'll be able to get those discounts. You can also give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. And you'll become a, trust me, folks, you're going to love Patriot Mobile. All right, we've got a skedaddle. Hour 3 coming up next.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay, everybody. Hour 3 of the big show. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. What an honor to have you with us today. And welcome to all of our viewers on Newsmax Television. They simulcast the final hour of the Todd Starnes radio program. If you missed the breaking news Robin Poffman shared with us just a little while ago, health officials in Washington, D.C. are now very concerned of a possible measles outbreak at Dulles International Airport and Reagan Airport. They're in the nation's capital. They say the threat came from an international traveler. Now, my question is, where did that international traveler come from? Because we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that a good many people coming across the southern border are bringing diseases that have been eradicated here in the United States of America. So a very dangerous situation in the nation's capital right now with this possible measles outbreak and threat. And I'm telling you, folks, this is what Donald John Trump is talking about. The number one issue for voters last night in Iowa had nothing to do with anything other than immigration. That's what's going on here. So, look, I want to get to the phones. We've had a gentleman holding on for a while, and we appreciate his patience listening to us in North Carolina, WSIC, our great affiliate there. Mr. Howell, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Well, Todd, first thing, patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit, and it's the most important ones. And you know what? I just want to just say this to you, that your entry when it come on and say you're a blowtorch. Yes, you are a blowtorch or telling the truth. And I just want to say thank you for that, for being a person of your magnitude and still a good Christian brother. I just want to say that to you and thank the Lord for that.
Well, Mr. Howell, thank you. I appreciate that. I just say what's on my mind, and people can agree or disagree, but at least folks know where I'm coming from.
And that's the most important thing. See, you, I know one thing, you're a soldier of the cross. But I've got a question for you I want to ask you. Now, you say, I heard that you go different places and speaking. Are you a preacher of the gospel, or are you just going out and just spreading the good influence? What's one of you?
No, sir. I just give the view from the pew, as I say it. But I'm not a pastor, and I'm really not a preacher. But that being said, some pastors will ask me to come in and speak and maybe do a Q&A, and I'm always happy to share that information, you know, whenever it comes up. But I'm just happy to sit there in the pew and be fed.
Well, one thing I would say is that, you know, with your vocation, I believe, I'm not trying to tell you, you know it before anybody else do. Your vocation, not vacation, your vocation in your calling. Your calling is to be on this Todd Starnes program, and I believe your calling is to be a minister of the gospel as well. But what I'm going to call, I'm an independent, and I can go either way. But I want the best man, all right, that would get the job done. And I'm going to have to go back up a little bit. Everybody was saying, okay, man, let's get this man out of office, Donald Trump. Let's get Biden in office. You know, what everything like that, President Biden in office. Okay. Now, when they wanted him in there, they wanted Trump out. Then they wanted Brother Biden in. Okay. And now they want him out. See what I'm saying? You know, you see what he's doing. Now, you know what I'm saying? You know, he's got dementia, and it's not, you know, everybody gets sick, and everybody's going to die, and everybody gets sick, well today and sick tomorrow, or living the day and dead tomorrow. But see, the thing is, I think he needs to be in the privacy of his home instead of being what he's doing now. See, he don't need to be in the public eye at the highest power of his office and having the problems that he's having. That's my opinion. You know what I'm saying? And I know you agree with me on that, too.
I think it's a fair assessment. I think that we have the world's richest senior citizen living retirement center right now. That's what the White House has been turned into. And I'm with you. And ultimately, I blame the family. In the last hour, we had Robin Poffman on, and she says that's really a decision that the Biden family should have made, is to get everybody together and say, hey, look, you know, you can't do this. You gotta either step down or just tell people you're not going to be running. But in all honesty, Mr. Howell, I don't believe that that Joe Biden is going to be the nominee by the time it gets to the convention in Chicago. I think we're going to see another candidate pop up, and I've been pretty vocal about the fact that I believe that person is going to be Michelle Obama. Mr. L, I hate to do this, but we have got to skedaddle, but I like the way you think, and I want you to give us a call back one of these days. For independent voters, I will say this. You all have a choice to make. The reality is, when you look at how high inflation is right now, the average American, and that's pretty much all of us, we're spending about $3,000 to $4,000 more a year on products than we were during the Trump administration. That's how significant of an issue that this is for the country. So look, we've all got a decision to make. The good people in Iowa made their decision. Now, the media, they are going to do everything humanly possible to destroy Donald Trump. And one of the avenues they're going to use is going after the base of the party, people who are conservatives and people who are Christians. And we saw that narrative develop last night on MSDNC. We saw that narrative develop also on CNN as people like Joy Reid and others. As a matter of fact, here's what Howard Dean, remember Howard Dean? Ha! Remember him? This is Howard Dean last night.
Trump is the farthest thing from an evangelical Christian, in fact, the farthest thing from a Christian in terms of his own professed values, how he treats women, how he treats other people, his willingness to say whatever he wants, whether it's true or not. I mean, these are hardly what most Christians would call Christian values. So in many ways, the danger here is that the evangelical Christians have abandoned any pretense of being ethical. And they're just doing this because Trump is their vehicle to their vision of what they'd like to impose on the rest of us in the United States. So I don't know what to make of all this. Iowa is not a typical state, but it does have an influence because it's the first, and it does reflect how well you can organize it in the state.
All right, there you go. That's Howard Dean bashing all of you Christian Trump supporters. But again, ladies and gentlemen, we're not electing a pastor. We're electing a president, and we need someone who is going to be able to stand up for the Constitution, defend all of our constitutional rights, defend religious liberty, and secure the blasted border. And without a secure border, guess what's going to happen? We're all going to get the measles, and nobody wants to get the measles. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Getting your reaction to the historic victory of Donald John Trump in the America First movement last night. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Good to have you with us today. And, of course, welcome to all of our Newsmax viewers this hour of the program as well. Let's go to the phones. WLOB, the Big Lobster. Chuck, hanging out with us in the beautiful state of Maine. All right, Chuck, what's on your mind today?
What's on my mind? I'm a solid Christian, and I am totally sick of them just bad-naming us. And, you know, the thing is that this country one time had so much wonderful values, and the values were just was simple. It was insisting of honesty and justice and virtue. They don't even look at that anymore. You've got Reed there. She better look up the Democratic Party and look what they've done. But the thing is that by telling the truth, it furthers justice. And if their false witnesses is now, it's nothing but deceit, lying constantly. And I rule, you know, I live with kindness. And the Bible, it says you live with kindness, justice, integrity. And it's what God says. But when you have total corruption in Washington, D.C., and with the television stations and newspapers, the only way that we're going to defeat that is by doing it ourselves. And you're correct. We've got to get out and vote. Talk to your next door neighbor. Do what you have to do.
That's
I'm a veteran. I'm a veteran. And I just don't understand it.
Well, Chuck, I think one of the things is that Christians have been conditioned to be silent. There is a new realm of leadership in a lot of the evangelical churches. And they've been completely wussified, and they're telling their church congregations to disengage from the culture. The problem when you do that, when the churches disengage, very bad things happen. We need Catholics and we need Protestants to get out and engage in the political process on Election Day. That's the only way we're going to be able to fix this problem. Chuck, God bless you. Thank you for serving our great nation, and you give us a call back one of these days. I want to say this about Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro now coming out, and he's blasting Vivek Ramaswamy. So last night, Ramaswamy did a really noble thing, and it was very statesmanlike. Came out, acknowledged he lost, and took his lumps and said moving forward he was suspending the campaign and he was fully endorsing Donald Trump. And that's a pretty noble thing. And as a result of that, now you've got people like Ben Shapiro out there attacking Ramaswamy, and Shapiro blasting Ramaswamy for basically kowtowing to Donald Trump. And look, Ramaswamy had decisions to make, and when you're in a political fight, this is just like when you're playing sports, you're playing football. Let's say your team is in the Southeastern Conference. Well, you know what? You're going to be fighting like cats and dogs all throughout the season. But when the SEC champ is crowned and then the playoffs begin, it really doesn't matter who you are. You get behind your guy. And that's what Ramaswamy did here. You're going to have the back and forth. You're going to have the jawing. This is politics. It's not a Sunday school picnic, and it's going to get rough and tumble. So I say good for Ramaswamy. I'm not getting all of these these millennial conservative talk radio folk who are locked in with Ron DeSantis. And I have something to say about Ron DeSantis in just a moment to give you some insight into who this guy really is. But I want to go to Jenny right now, watching us from Arizona on Newsmax 2. Hi, Jenny. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. So I am a Christian Trump supporter on that clip that you just played. And there's nothing that makes me madder when somebody gets on and talks about, you know, like the general population is not very bright is how I look at it. So when he talks about how Trump treated women, you know, this E. Jean Carroll thing came up how many years after it happened, which I'm sorry, makes it very suspect that it even did happen and somebody else paid for it on top of it. Then she comes out with a book deal. Like, we can connect the dots. So I think any of the Republicans, I don't know about Nikki Haley, but any of the Republicans that come in, if they win over Trump, they're going to clean house, I think, in all of these corrupt, you know, the FBI, DOJ, all of those. We all know enough that has gone on in there that I think anybody that comes in is going to do that. Now, Trump has already been there. He can walk right in and knows how, you know, what works and how, you know, doesn't have to get acclimated to the White House. And he already has relationships where we're going to get results faster, which is why I would vote for him.
Jenny, I and again, they want to shame people like you, that they want you to feel ashamed and that you won't go and vote on election day because of your Christian faith. And I've just, we've been preaching this all out for the entire show today, is do not buy into the shaming. You have nothing to be ashamed of. Donald Trump is a good man. Donald Trump is not a preacher, not a Sunday school teacher, probably wouldn't make a good deacon, Jenny, but that's okay because that's not what we're wanting him to do. We're electing him to lead our country, to protect our nation from all enemies, foreign and domestic. So we don't need somebody tiptoeing through the tulips to do that. We need somebody with a spine that's willing to stand up and do what needs to be done.
And if you look at some of the debates where somebody was confronting Nikki Haley, she kind of comes. I mean, I thought a couple of times she looked like she was going to cry. Now, how do you think she's going to hold up if she has to go to a meeting with like MBS?
It's a great question, and I'm with you on this. Every time, you know, she would say, you know, oh, you can say whatever you want to about me. And when a candidate did, she immediately turned around and said that she was being disrespected. You can't have it both ways. I'm just saying, you can't have it both ways. Jenny, appreciate that call, and God bless you. Thank you for listening to us. By the way, I want to play some audio here. This is, speaking of E. Jean Carroll, this woman's a nut job. This is E. Jean Carroll being interviewed by Anderson Cooper. Remember when that conversation about rape being sexy? This is bizarre stuff, folks. Cut 7.
People think of rape it is a violent assault. It is not.
I think most people think of rape as being sexy. Mm.
Let's take a short break.
Think of the fantasies.
Mm. We're just going to take a quick break. If you can stick around, we'll talk more on the other side.
You're fascinating to talk to.
Oh, my word. She was hitting on the guy, and he's gay. Did she know that? I don't know. Something's not right with that woman. So, look, Donald Trump, good, decent man. That's what you need to know. And, folks, we've got a 4-year track record to run on. By the way, can I just talk about DeSantis for a moment? So, as you know, last week I was under the weather, and Jeff Stein was filling in, and the DeSantis campaign finally got around to wanting to come on the program, but only because I was not hosting the show that day. They are terrified. I don't know why. I'm a nice guy, right? I don't come across as being, I don't know, shrill, or I don't do gotcha stuff. But his team is terrified of me doing a one-on-one interview with Ron DeSantis. And I went ahead, I knew what was going to happen, and I told Grace, that's okay because I want the audience to hear from Ron DeSantis. And we always want to give the politicians a chance to come on and answer the questions. But he will not come on this show and do a Q&A with me. And the reason why is I don't blow smoke. I have a lot of questions that need answers. And if he's not willing to do that, that's on him. That's on Ron DeSantis. But this guy has run one of the worst presidential campaigns I have seen. And I don't see that getting any better. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Well, all right. Well, this is interesting. So yesterday we told you on the program about the FAA, and they're going to be hiring a lot of people with intellectual and psychiatric disabilities. Also, little people, people dealing with dwarfism. And there's a very good chance that the person in charge of the tower at your local airport could be a blind dude with no arms, no legs. I'm just telling you, this is coming out of the FAA. Libs of TikTok now reporting that the person in charge of hiring all of these people with intellectual and psychiatric disabilities is, in fact, himself legally blind. You can't make this up. So it is what it is. What do you want me to do? Let's go to the phones here. Tony in Idaho watching us on Newsmax 2 today. Hi, Tony. What's on your mind? I'm going to have to start driving everywhere. That's what I'm going to have to do, folks. All right, Tony, what's going on?
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me on your show. Hey, I just have a real quick question for you. I'm wondering why news media outlets have all just let go of the Supreme Court leaker on the Roe v. Wade case. Now, I understand a lot of people are going to think, well, that's old news, and there's a lot of stuff going on right now. Why do we need to talk about that again? Well, it was never resolved, you know, much like the cocaine in the White House. Are our investigative agencies so weak that we can't get to the bottom of that? The reason I bring that Supreme Court case leaking instance up again is because it's very important. We're about to have another critical decision made by the Supreme Court on whether President Trump can be chosen by the voters of America. And how do we know that that's not going to happen again? There was no fallout from that. And it could set off riots or, you know, unrest among people. And we've got to keep in mind that a Supreme Court justice was almost killed the last time that happened. Somebody went to his house with guns. So I just wonder why the news are so willing to let that go. And I figured I'd call Newsmaster because they got a lot of confidence in the organization.
Well, Tony, well, we appreciate that, and we're so thankful that you're watching us today. I'll do my best to try to answer it. Ultimately, this is about controlling the narrative. And I'll give you an example. Over the weekend, you had a very dangerous situation unfolding outside of the White House where you had thousands of pro-Palestinian protesters that literally staged a riot. They were clashing with the Secret Service. They had to evacuate parts of the White House. And in one instance, the outer security gate around the White House was actually breached. Now, if that had been people wearing MAGA hats, there would have been wall-to-wall news coverage. You would have seen the Secret Service hauling out the tear gas canisters and the rubber bullets, but not a single person was arrested, and there was hardly any media coverage outside of some of the conservative news agencies. So again, it's a matter of what kinds of stories they want to cover and what sort of issues. You are absolutely right, Tony, that this issue of the leaker is so vitally important because this really goes to the heart of who we are as a people. What are we teaching people these days in our schools and our homes that they don't know how to keep this things confidential? They don't know how to keep secrets. You know, if I'm in charge of hiring spies over at the CIA, man, am I worried because nobody is being raised up. Nobody is being trained to have a moral center where you know right from wrong. And I believe this is an extrapolation of that, what happened at the Supreme Court. Tony, thank you for that call, and we sure do appreciate you watching us today. Let's go to John in Texas. John, what's on your mind?
A lot. I dislike Biden a lot. I am a disabled senior, and I'm very low income. I'm the lowest on the list, I guess. I make about $1,000 a month.
Wow.
Have you ever tried to live on $1,000 a month? And Biden has made it so bad that I'm about ready to lose my home and everything I've worked all my life for. It sure was a lot better with Trump. And Trump is my man. And I can't believe what Biden and his crew have done to America. It's disgraceful. Why hasn't he been impeached already? He impeached a year ago, or I don't know. It's just bad. And there's so many people that are worse off than me. And nobody wants to help the poor. And they talk about the government wants you to be indebted to them so they can control you. It's true. But somebody like me, I have no choice.
John, have you been able to reach out to Veterans Affairs, the VA there in your community, in your town?
I am not a veteran. I'm disabled. I'm not a veteran. So they're not going to help me, I don't imagine. But I do get assistance, food stamps, which I don't like. It's not enough. And I get assistance. Otherwise, I'd be dead. And I just hope people wake up and vote for Trump.
And John, I hear the frustration in your voice, and you're right. And the sad reality is that when you're bringing in all of these millions of people across our border and you're giving them all of these things, you're actually denying American citizens like you the necessities you need. And again, there are circumstances in our lives that we have no control over, and you're doing the best you can do. And it's unacceptable that the Biden administration will not do what needs to be done to protect the American people. John, you hang in there. You give us a call back one of these days, and we certainly appreciate you and your voice and watching and listening to us on the radio. All right, our telephone number again, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Ron in California. Hi, Ron. What's on your mind today?
Well, I wanna talk to Mr. Stern.
Yeah, you're talking to him, Ron.
Are you Mr. Stern?
I am indeed. All right, let's put Ron on hold here, and we'll get all that sorted out. But in the meantime, folks, again, getting back to the heart of the issue, New Hampshire coming up. This is an opportunity for the Republicans to finally say, enough is enough. Trump is our guy, and we're moving on. If Trump comes out of New Hampshire with another historic landslide victory, it's all over. I mean, that's really where we are right now. All right, we're going to take a break here. 901-260-5926. Again, our telephone number is 901-260-5926. May I tell you about our friends over at Newsmax? Man, are they doing a great job. Did a great job of their coverage last night. But they have an incredible streaming service called Newsmax Plus. I subscribe. I love it. You're going to be able to watch all of the shows that you love. Rob Schmidt, Eric Bolling, Greta Van Susteren, even Greg Kelly. You're going to get great movies, great history movies and documentaries, and over 180,000 people have already signed up. You can also watch Newsmax Plus on your home TV or your phone app. And the best part about all of this, you're going to be able to get a free trial. That's right. It is absolutely free to start. All you have to do is go to NewsmaxPlus.com. That's NewsmaxPlus.com, and you can sign up and start watching Newsmax today. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's go right to the phones. Let's talk to Mike in Arkansas. Mike, what's on your mind?
Well, our president and Mr. Putin, the war in Gaza. A lot.
Okay, well, let me jump in here. You got to pick one of those, Mike. So let's talk about Joe Biden. Do you think he's really going to be on the ballot in this presidential election cycle?
I doubt it. I think the Democratic Party will see that he's...
Mike, I'm afraid we've got a bad phone connection. I appreciate that call, though. Let's go to Florida. Brett joining us wants to weigh in on the Trump victory last night. Brett, what'd you think about that election last night, the caucus?
I thought it was amazing. I couldn't get enough of it, Todd. And I want to thank you for speaking out, because all these other fake news channels, they don't speak the truth. My concern right now for this country, because I am a disabled Vietnam veteran, and my concern is all these people that have flocked across our borders, there are terrorists set up in this country somewhere. Me and my veteran brothers all have the same opinion, and we are so elated that Donald Trump's got his foot in the door again.
Well, Brett, I can tell you this. It blessed my heart to see, and let's get real, Trump won all 99 counties. There were shenanigans going on in that one county that went for Nikki Haley by one vote. I think what you saw last night in Iowa was the voice of the people finally speaking out and saying, this is where we want to go. These are the issues that matter to us, and we're going to take a stand, and Trump is our guy. Brett, appreciate that call. Let's go to Charlotte in Tennessee. Hi, Charlotte. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. It's good to talk to you. I don't like the way Biden is treating the illegal Mexicans better than he is regular Americans. I go through the grocery store line and look over, and there's a handful of illegals with a basket full of groceries that I can't afford to buy for myself.
Charlotte, as an American citizen, how does that make you feel when you see something like that happening in your town, in your grocery store, knowing that you're a hardworking, taxpaying American citizen?
Oh, it grates me to no end. I looked over at one little girl. She must have been 8 or 9 years old, with a brand new set of braces in her mouth, and I could not afford to buy braces for my children growing up. But yet we're paying for all of these others. It's very belittling.
It's appalling. And then when you hear the reports of the VA medical centers actually pushing veterans aside, and then they're providing medical care for illegal aliens. Again, this is medical care that is specifically designated for military veterans, and yet they're providing health care to the illegals. So, again, I think, Charlotte, it's a great example, as painful as it is, it's a great example of America first versus America last.
Exactly, and I pray to God that Trump gets in office. We need him back. The first thing I said to my husband when he lost the election last time is, now I do not feel safe. I absolutely do not feel safe.
Well, it is it's a disturbing time, and you're right not to feel safe. I don't think any of us, I mean, when you've got lawmakers out there, and Charlotte, I appreciate that call. When you have lawmakers out there saying it's not a matter of if, but when we have a terrorist attack in this country and they're not shutting down that border, that ought to put the fear of God in every single person listening to us on the radio and watching us on Newsmax. I want to play some audio, though. This is from last night. President Trump, and again, the tone and tenor, cut number 12.
I want to thank you very much. I want to congratulate Ron and Nikki for having a good time together. We're all having a good time together. And I think they both actually did very well. I really do. I think they both did very well. We don't even know what the outcome of second place is. And I see Carrie Lake. Congratulations, Carrie. Very good. I spotted her, I have to announce, because she's terrific. She's going to be a senator, a great senator, I predict, right? You're going to be a great senator. And I also want to congratulate Vivek because he did a hell of a job. He came from zero, and he's got a big percent, probably 8%, almost 8%, and that's an amazing job. They all did. They're all very smart people, very capable people.
All right, there you go. And that was just a flavor of the president last night. A gracious man, conciliatory, a very different Trump we heard last night. All right, let's go to John in Kentucky, listening to us on KWAM Radio. Hi, John, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, I'll make this real quick because I know your time is coming up to the end of the show. First of all, that disabled senior citizen that says he's only pulling in $1,000 a month, Todd, you need to subtract $175 a month from that because he's on Medicare Part A and B. That's less than $1,000 a month. And here's another thing, Social Security. I need one of your staff to go look it up, but it says in the Social Security application, if you are here illegally or undocumented, you can go ahead and apply. And I just wanted to tell that, yeah, he's making less than $1,000 a month, minus $175, and plus his Social Security is being taxed. And I'll hang up and listen for your answer, Todd. It's, God bless you, brother. We love you.
Thank you, John. And that is what is offensive here, folks, that we have situations where you got people out there and they're living in extreme poverty. And a lot of these folks, and again, we see the folk, I'm not talking about the people that are, you know, wanting to live out on the streets, the drug addicts and all that kind of nonsense. I'm talking about people who, for whatever reason, are just in a tough, tough spot right now and they need help. And that's the whole point of having programs like public housing, like having those EBT cards, you just call them food stamps. The whole point of that was not to have generations of families living in public housing or generations of families living on government assistance, but it was a stopgap to make sure that those people were not booted out on the street. But now we don't care about those people anymore. At least the Biden administration doesn't. And Donald Trump is saying there is a better way. There is a more effective way, and it's time to put American people first. There's nothing wrong about that. There's nothing un-American about that. There's nothing un-Christian about that. But we have to be able to take care of our own before we can help other people. And that's what Donald Trump is trying to say here. And now we have a measles scare at two major airports that are utilized by many people who are in Congress right now. Do you understand how dangerous this situation at the border is? What sort of a threat this puts on all of us? Could you imagine a national measles outbreak? Whoever thought that was possible? But this is what we're dealing with when you do not secure the border. We are dealing with mass chaos in this country. I'm telling you, folks, you got to pay attention here. All right, look, that's going to wrap things up today. It's been a lot of fun today. Folks, you get out there and have a great one. ToddStearns.com. Go check out our website. Go check out all the great resources we have for you, for your family, free of charge. Again, this is our way of saying thank you for being a part of what we're doing. All right, folks, get out there and you be good, America.
Tuesdays at Papa Murphy's, you can get large signature or thin crust pizzas for just $12.
We call it Take and Bake Tuesday.
Talking $12 Take and Bake Tuesday?
Yeah, that's today's topic.
It's terrific for tuning up a tiring Tuesday through a tasty $12 treat.
Truthfully, Take and Bake Tuesday tops tossing back tacos.
Tell that taco to hit the trail. It's Take and Bake Tuesday's time to triumph.
Timeout, this is turning into a tongue twister.
Totally tis. So just try Take and Bake for $12 every Tuesday at Papa Murphy's. Change the way you pizza.